Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Coming up today, we'll chat with Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times about injuries and decisions regarding the pitching staff. Plus, interviews with C.J. Riefenhauser, Johnny Ventures, and Richie Schaefer.
This is Rays Radio. Now here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks for joining us this Tuesday, March 24th. We're now less than 2 weeks away from opening day. The Rays now have 48 players left in camp. Taylor Motter and Alan Dykstra are the latest cuts, with Mikey Matsuk, Birch Smith, Vince Belnomi, and Eni Romero among those moving back to minor league camp within the past week. But the talk involving the Rays lately has involved injuries. The latest was yesterday, when Nick Franklin suffered a severe oblique strain. And what will that do for the Rays at second base? Well, it's something the team will ponder here on an off day for the Rays. As far as anything else, Rays, let's discuss it with the Dean of Rays Beat Reporters.
Time now to head up to the press box.
We continue our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, and joining us now, Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. Mark, obviously this has been a busy week, and let's start with the pitching staff, which has been the focus, really, for the last 2 weeks now, how to figure out who goes where.
Yeah, good guess, Neil. I mean, I'm not sure I could name more than five or six or seven guys that I know are definitely going to be on the staff, and there's a lot of moving pieces after that. You know, both on the starting side and the relieving side, because how they set up the rotation is going to impact how they set up the bullpen. For example, Mike Montgomery, who looks like he could be a long reliever, you know, maybe has a better chance to make the team than C.J. Riefenhauser as a second lefty because he can pitch deeper into the game. So there's a lot of decisions that are going to be impacted by what they do. You know, in filling out the rotation, they're going to try to set it up this week by having all three, Archer, Odorizzi, and Karnes, pitch on Saturday in different levels of work. So they can then set the order up to open the season, and probably in the order of Archer, Odorizzi, and Karnes.
And then the question is, and who's after that? And really, Matt Andrews would seem to be a likely choice, but it's anyone's guess.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, whether they use, you know, if they go by just, you know, the best starting pitchers, they go by the guys that best match up the best. You know, I think they'll skip the fifth starter the first time through and then come back around and drop him in on the 14th of April. So they buy themselves a little bit of time. That'll be Smiley. I don't think that'll be Cobb yet. You know, Colome threw a bullpen session on Monday, so whether, you know, that means he accelerates his time or not, there's a lot of moving pieces. This pitching staff really may not get put together until those very last couple days. And even then, whatever the pitching staff is on opening day, it may not be the same 2 or 3 or 4 days later.
Without question. And you mentioned Colome throwing a bullpen. Drew Smiley threw another bullpen Monday. Later today, reevaluation of Alex Cobb to see where he is, and that probably helps Matt Silverman in terms of any decisions he has to make about does he or doesn't he get outside help.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how much outside help the Rays can get. I mean, a lot of teams are now looking for pitching, including, you know, even a team you think that would never need pitching, the Los Angeles Dodgers under Andrew Friedman. I mean, they had a guy in camp that I know you and I talked about a few days ago, thinking maybe Eric Bedard could end up back with the Rays and be that guy to fill out the rotation. He got hurt out in L.A., and they actually have enough other injuries that they're looking for pitching. So if a lot of teams are looking for pitching, that makes it tougher for the Rays to find someone from the outside. You know, I think at this point, my understanding is they're going to try and piece this together from within. You know, maybe somebody shows up off the waiver wire those last few days of camp, and they can, you know, add an arm. But at this point, I think they're going to piece it together. And, you know, some of these guys that have been doing the games with you, Doug Wechter and Andy Sonnenstein, I mean, I'm not so sure there might not be the proverbial call to the booth.
They've told me neither is quite up to snuff right now. So we'll see how it goes. But it'll be interesting to watch, or at least see if they push to get back on the mound, or if they're in the shape to get back on the mound. As far as decisions that have been made, we certainly know one decision that has been made, and that's who's the shortstop is for the Rays, and it's Asdrubal Cabrera, as you broke on Sunday night.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think it's a huge surprise in that I thought Asdrubal's played pretty well, but, you know, it was definitely a major decision the Rays had to make, and that also was impacted in a number of different fashions as to who was the best shortstop, where was the most comfortable place to put Cabrera, what were the implications if he played short or second, and who else, you know, would be in that mix. So I think there were a lot of factors. Ultimately, the way Kevin Cash explained it, it really came down to the most pure and simple answer, was they felt that Cabrera was the guy best in position to make the routine play, and that's what they look for and prize most in a shortstop. So Cabrera at short, and you know, look, he has heard the chatter about the lack of range, and that's been something I've heard from scouts, we've heard from coaches of other teams. That was kind of his rap in Cleveland, and you know, I think it kind of upset him a little bit. It motivated him. He said he worked out hard this offseason in Venezuela. He lost about 5 to 7 pounds, and he came in wanting to show people he could still play shortstop.
I thought that was probably the most interesting aspect of all this, because I think it probably didn't come as a huge surprise when camp started that he won the shortstop job. I mean, you know, it was a question whether he did have enough range or at least appeared to be good enough. But it was more about what drove him coming into this year and the look in his face when he heard the rumblings about his lack of range.
And I think you also liked that answer, Neil, because you asked him that question when we interviewed him on Monday, and you were very happy that he gave you that look and you saw that fire in his eyes. Kind of reminded me of you chasing down a update report. But ultimately, it was on Asdrubal Cabrera to show he could still play shortstop. And at least through a month of spring training, he has. Now, you know, how will that play out on the turf at Tropicana Field? How will that play out when he has to play a bunch of days in a row in the heat of summer and some of those really hot fields and hot ballparks? That we're all going to find out. But at least at this point, he has shown them he is definitely their best option at shortstop.
And second base, Forsythe Franklin, or maybe not, depending on Nick Franklin missed his last game yesterday as he tweaked his left side.
Yeah, a lot of moving pieces there. I mean, I think that was been the default all along, was a Franklin-Forsythe platoon, but Tim Beckham could be in that mix. A couple of non-roster guys that have had good springs, Jake Elmore, Alexi Casilla. Now, it might be in Beckham's favor that he's on the 40-man roster as far as getting a spot on that roster. But now, if Franklin were to be hurt and the Rays were to need someone to actually play second base on a semi-regular basis, you know, Casilla's a guy who's got a lot more experience having done that. Elmore's got some experience. Beckham, obviously, very limited major league experience. So another position that may really come down to that last few days of spring training.
And as you mentioned in your Sunday piece, the hard part about this is non-rosters and roster flexibility with the pitching issues that could impact position players and even the catching with Bobby Wilson and Kurt Casale.
Absolutely. I mean, the Rays, you know, as we sit here now, the Rays have their 40-man roster full. They're going to get one free spot when you put Matt Moore on the 60-day disabled list. So you get a free spot there. You know, we've been under the impression all spring they're trying to trade David DeJesus. If they do, that'll free up another spot. Although, you know, Brendan Guyer missed a game again on Monday with yet another injury, this time an ankle sprain. So, you know, they may have some concern over Brendan Guyer's health. But, you know, that being said, if they are able to trade DeJesus, that gives them two spots. One we think would go to Bobby Wilson. Now, does one go to one of these middle infielders to add Casilla or Elmore, or do they need to save that spot for the pitching staff? A guy like Brandon Gomes, who needs to be put back on the roster if he makes the team, Everett Tiefert if he makes the team. So there's a lot of moving pieces here, and this is going to be a test for Matt Silverman, Chaim Bloom, Eric Neander, the new front office. Yeah, they're very creative, they're very smart, and how they slide all this around is going to be very interesting to see.
More so maybe than any year that we've had in the last handful, for sure.
It's hard to remember. You go out with Dave Wills once in a while during the season. It's hard to remember things, and I'm not sure I can tell you exactly if there's been a more difficult spring, but I know to think that there's so many moving pieces. You know, Monday was 2 weeks from opening day, so we're closer than that to opening day, and to think that, you know, there's five or six spots on this roster that we really don't know who they're going to go to is pretty unusual.
One thing we do know is that Kevin Kiermaier should be manning center field on opening day in a couple weeks, and you had a pretty interesting feature with him on Sunday. We all learned a few things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he got that from Doug Wechter or where he learned his pregame routine, but his scream and a sneeze, he goes into the bathroom, he pours water over his head, he sticks toilet paper up his nose to make himself sneeze, and then he lets out a blood-curdling scream. I mean, it's pretty much known, I think, also as the Andy Freed. But, you know, that's an unusual thing. I mean, I thought, you know, Kevin is just so refreshing. It's a combination of small-town wonder and naivete, but listening to him talk about, you know, what it was like to be on the charter flights and going into the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Toronto and, you know, getting his first paycheck and some of the experiences he's had. I mean, and, you know, he just seems so genuine about that. And, you know, this is a guy who he spends his free time in the winter watching YouTube videos of people who did their auditions on American Idol and The Voice that got put through to the next round because he loves watching that scene where they run out from the back and hug their family. I mean, what next? Kittens and, you know, little teddy bears.
It's definitely refreshing to have a guy like that around. And, you know, you hope that he really takes hold of the center field job and is able to hit well enough, because I think we all know he's going to defend well enough.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all there for him right now. He has the opportunity to really establish himself. He came up last year late May to stay and had a pretty good year. Tired at the end a little bit, kind of, you know, dropped off a little bit. But, you know, Kevin Kiermaier's opportunity to prove himself and establish himself as a big league player is right in front of him this year. A
couple other notes. One, Stuart Sternberg, principal owner of the Rays, was in town this week. You had a chance to talk to him. Tony Clark, executive director of the Players Association, was here. And this coming week, we get Rob Manfred, the commissioner.
Yeah, it's just like kind of rolling, you know, how you normally roll, you know, the commish, the players union guy, the owner, you know, it's just like a normal day in the life of Neil Solons. But I think, you know, Stu Sternberg wants to get a new stadium situation resolved. You know, Tony Clark, as a union chief, said they're kind of watching to see what happens. We know Rob Manfred's going to say they're concerned when he comes in later this week. So everyone is concerned. It's going to still come down to what, you know, the St. Pete City Council and, you know, under the direction of Mayor Kreisman decides to do. And that's going to let this whole ball, you know, get in motion from the race standpoint, hopefully, and figure out what's next for them stadium-wise in the Tampa Bay area.
Certainly going to be interesting stuff to watch. You can follow him at TBTimes_Rays on Twitter, and you can also read his blog, The Heater Blog. Mark Topkin, thanks for a few minutes.
Anytime, Neil. We're here all week.
That's Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times in a segment we like to call From the Press Box. Now, each week during spring training, we introduce you to several players in camp. Many of them are featured on our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com, where we also post news and notes throughout the day. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Neil Solons, or check out at Rays Radio. Now, coming up, we've got some great conversations with C.J. Riefenhauser, Johnny Venters, and Richie Schaefer, all right after this.
Rays baseball is back at Charlotte Sports Park. Named the number one spring training ballpark by readers of USA Today, the venue features fun for the whole family. Get in on the action with the spring training three-pack. This great offer allows you to choose any three games and starts at just $39. Plus, you get a commemorative photo ball with each pack purchased. Call 888-FAN-RAYS or visit raysbaseball.com/spring today. Raise up.
Welcome back to our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. I'm Neil Solons. Jake McGee is in his second week now throwing bullpens again. And if all goes well, he'll be back in late April. Until then, it's Jeff Béliveau as the lefty in the pen. And unless the Rays add someone like non-roster invites Everett Tiefert or Jordan Roberto or Mike Montgomery or perhaps C.J. Riefenhauser, the lefty made his big league debut last year against the team he grew up rooting for, the Yankees. I asked Riefenhauser what this camp has been like.
So far, so good. You know, I feel healthy, and that's pretty much all I can control right now, and just trying to go out there each and every day and try to get better.
What do you like about what you've done so far in camp? What has been your focus?
Definitely against righties, like mixing in the changeup, getting the fastball in on them a little bit, and just overall command of the fastball.
Your last time out, if I remember correctly, against Baltimore, you got to come in on the ninth inning. You got to face three righties, and I thought you finished it on a swing and miss changeup. Is that right? And if so, how's it developing in your mind?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, and that was the best one I threw all camp. I've been getting a lot of help from other guys with the changeup, and I'm starting to get more comfortable and definitely better with the feel of it. So I like how it's going so far.
One of the neat things about the Rays is that guys do spend time with one another, helping one another. It's kind of a sharing environment. So who has been helpful with his changeup? And if so, who's been most helpful for you?
I've been throwing with Gomes almost every day. And he's the one who's really kind of giving me pointers with the changeup. He throws a really good split. And there's just little trigger words. I've been asking a lot of guys like Archer and, you know, McGee, just kind of things that when they start leaking forward or something like that, like what's their word kind of to get them back to their, you know, to their feel. And that's kind of been helping me, just kind of going around picking some guys' brains and stuff like that. And it's working so far.
It's kind of unique that a guy in Brandon Gomes you're competing with for a spot is helping you. How rare do you think that is in today's day and age?
Oh, I don't know. Me and Gomes are good friends. I don't think we look at it that way at all. Like I said, we both try to help each other as much as we could. He definitely helps me a lot more than I can help him. He's been around a little bit longer than I have. But like I said, I've never been anywhere else. But I'm just coming up with this organization, I could think that hopefully everybody always helps everybody out, you know. But I've definitely been lucky enough to have a guy like Gomes, you know, throwing with and stuff like that, and definitely helped me out with all these pitches. So,
you've got a brief opportunity in the big leagues last year. Is the camp any different this year than it was a year ago with a different manager, other than maybe a different vibe?
I was a little bit more nervous last year coming into it, you know. I'm definitely a little bit more comfortable, but no, Cash has been awesome. It's just been a really... You know, it's a fun camp. It's kind of an upbeat camp this year. And, like, just like last year, you know, a lot of guys, you have leaders like Cobb and Longoria. Those guys, you know, kind of manage the clubhouse. And definitely, definitely it's great to have guys like that on our side.
That's C.J. Riefenhauser, who's been sharp out of the pen, allowing just an unearned run in camp so far this season. The improvement of his changeup is a point of emphasis to allow him to be better consistently against right-handed hitters. Now, another lefty is now in minor league camp, but this lefty is a candidate for the 2016 season, and that would be a great story. You know, Johnny Venters was one of the best setup men in the game from 2010 to 2013, but Venters needed Tommy John surgery that last season, and then again thereafter, his third overall. Now Venters is on a two-year minor league deal, and this week he explained why he signed with the Rays.
A few things. You know, I think the Rays have a great reputation in the game, especially, you know, with relievers, and their medical staff is highly recommended, and I think you know, my agent's from Tampa, and he's a big fan of the Rays and the way they do things. They do things the right way, and so that was really, you know, a lot of the reasons. Just I think it's a great organization, and the medical staff is great, and I felt like it was my best chance to get back on the field.
All right. You want to start by walking us through when you found out you had not only the second but the third procedure?
Yeah. You know, I've been kind of throwing for a little bit, struggling with pain, and couldn't really throw too hard. And you know, once the Dr. Andrews looked at the MRI, he was, you know, he was upset himself. He felt bad for me. And we were upset, and obviously weren't expecting that, but, you know, it is what it is. It goes with the territory kind of thing. So immediately I kind of knew that I wanted to give it another shot and have the surgery again. So so far everything's been good, man. Elbow's feeling good.
You had a different guy do the third surgery. Explain how you decided to go that route.
I did. A couple guys on the team had also been going through their second ones, and Brandon Beachy had Dr. Andrews do his first, and then he went to Dr. Elitrosh in L.A. for his second, and he spoke really highly of the procedures and how everything went. And I wasn't angry with Dr. Andrews. He's obviously still the best elbow guy in the country, but I just figured, you know, it wouldn't hurt for a change. See, try something different, a different procedure might be beneficial. So it was good. Everything went smooth. It was just across the country.
How hard has it been to?
I know it's early in the procedure, so to speak. You're 6 months in, but does it feel different now than after 6 months in the previous, or can you compare them?
It's tough. You know, I've always felt good up until, you know, it's time to really start cranking up the throwing program and stuff like that. So as of right now, I feel great, and I'm looking forward, hopefully soon, to start throwing and see how it responds.
Jason Isringhausen, I know, was one of the guys who had a third. Have you talked to him or any of the guys who've done it?
Yeah, I spoke to Jason before I had the surgery. Actually, I called the doctor that did. He had the same doctor. Do all three of his. So I called him, and he had some advice to give me. And it's definitely good to know somebody's been there and done it before, you know. But it's definitely kind of uncharted territory. So see how it goes.
Where can you go into the thought process of signing that two-year deal, because you're starting to see a few more of those happen now. Neil Wagner, I know, signed earlier than you from the Blue Jays over here.
Yeah. When my agent said it was going to be a two-year deal, I completely understood, you know, the dynamics of that, because obviously it was going to be tough for me to get on the field this year, and they were taking a risk. The Rays were taking a risk by bringing me in and rehabbing me, and they needed that second year if I'm healthy, you know. So I thought it was a great deal for both sides, you know, if I'm healthy and everything works out.
Well, what does it say for your passion for the game that you're coming back off this?
I love playing baseball, you know. It's all I've ever done, and then I enjoy doing it, and I felt like if I didn't give it another shot, it'd be something that I would regret down the road. So I didn't want to have that, and then, you know, I wanted to give it every shot I could.
Izzy told you, because he played here too.
We talked for quite a while, but you know, he kind of was going through the rehab and the procedures and how he went about it, and he's just a great guy. I enjoyed speaking to him. I was fortunate to meet him a while back when he played with the Mets, but he spoke positively. You know, made me feel better about what I was about to go through. So It was good.
That's Johnny Venters, who's had his third Tommy John surgery last September and now hopes to be throwing an instructional league this September and then a full go for spring training next year. Now, many exhibition games are finished these days by players in minor league camp. For some, it may be the closest they get to the majors. For others, it's a taste of their future. Former first-round pick Richie Schaefer hopes that's certainly the case. In a down season in 2014, he hit 19 homers for AA Montgomery. During his struggles, he finished strong, hitting better than a 1,000 OPS over the final month. Schaefer, a former Clemson star, vowed to make sure that was just the start of his turnaround. I asked him what he took away from 2014.
Because there was a big chunk of the season where I struggled, probably worse than I've ever struggled ever in my career. And, you know, when you face, you know, adversity like that, you know, there's two ways it can go. It can break you or it can, you know, build you up and make you stronger. And, you know, I think it could have been extremely easy for me just to kind of, you know, cash it in and shut it down the last, like, 2 months of the season. But, you know, I mean, I just kept working. And me and the hitting coordinator, Chad, and Ozzie Timmons, my hitting coach, we just kept working. Then finally, slowly but surely, started to click. And then, you know, at one point there was a time the best – month and a half where, I mean, it was the best I'd ever felt. So, you know, I think that, you know, that type of adversity definitely is something that I can learn from and now I can, you know, use in seasons to come when I'm struggling. Be like, hey, if I got through that, like, I can get through anything, because that was tough. I mean, I'm not going to lie, that was tough for sure.
What did you find in the last month or so that you can carry over into this year?
Just real basic, you know, mechanical things. That's what it was. You know, we're just trying to get on top a little bit more and just stay under control with my legs when I'm, you know, in my stride, my load and everything. That's pretty much it. But the biggest thing was just confidence, you know, and just trusting yourself and trusting that, you know, you put the work in, that you're a good player, that, you know, you can do this. Like, there's a reason you got drafted where you were. There's a reason they like you. I mean, you're good. Just not losing sight of who you are as a player, for sure.
And you put on 25 pounds in the off season. So how did you do that, and why did you do it, and how do you think it'll help you this year?
I think it's going to do nothing but, you know, really take my game to the next level, for sure. I trained all off season long in Charlotte, North Carolina, at this gym called US Performance Center. They were incredible. They helped me out from the very first day of off season to the very last day. I mean, I was in the gym from the very first day of the off season to the day before I reported. And it was everything. It was, you know, functional lifting and gaining some size, because it was kind of a lanky guy and I had some room to fill out. But yeah, so it improved my speed, my quickness, my power. I mean, everything top to bottom. I mean, I feel incredible. I feel like the ball's coming off my bat harder than it ever has. And I feel like, you know, having some more muscle and learning how to eat better and lift better is going to help me, you know, stay healthy throughout the year and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm excited and ready to go. I wanted to do it because, you know, I think that was something that I needed to do to make a jump. You know, I mean, you know, I want to be a big leaguer, not just a big leaguer. I want to be a guy. And you know, to do that, I mean, you look at these guys that are power hitting, you know, corner infielders or corner outfielders. These are big dudes, man. Like, they're not small guys. So, I mean, I was always around the 208, 210 range. And I'm close to 230 right now. I'm 228, 229. And, you know, I just felt like that was something that was, you know, kind of separating me a little bit. And I wanted to close that gap for sure.
That's Richie Schaefer, certainly a Rays minor leaguer to keep an eye on in 2015. A reminder, we have daily interviews on our blog, raysradio.mlblogs.com. Now, this Thursday, Dave and Andy are back at Hooters, our final show in Port Charlotte, for the final countdown to opening day from 7 to 8 o'clock. The guests will be first base coach Rocco Baldelli and starting pitcher Jake Odorizzi. And that show also will be posted as a podcast on Friday if you happen to miss it. Again, read our blog, raysradio.mlblogs.com. Follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio or at Neil Solons. Thanks for joining us, and we'll speak with you next week.
Thank you for listening to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. For more on the Rays this offseason, visit our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com or follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio.